This conference has been, for me, a very, how would I say, the Lord, I feel like, is flipping my life, my entire life, upside down. Because in the matter of pursuing holiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, touches the very core of my being. Because it's every waking moment in our lives that the Lord needs to sanctify. I remember the first time when I came back from the Philippines after the word was shared, and I stepped off the plane, and you know, Sharon and the girls were picking me up, and naturally, right away, I would say things that I would typically say when I come off the plane. Something like, is the house cleaned? Am I going to do a lot of work when I get in the door? Those types of things come into my mind and out of my mouth most trips, usually. But on this trip, when I got home and I was about to say, and I realized, the Lord is touching my tongue there. Are you going to say it in a common way, or is it going to be holy? So from the minute I stepped off the plane, the Lord was already beginning to touch just all these little things in my daily life. Is it separated for the Lord? Is it common, or is it holy? Right? And this is really a wonderful work that the Lord will continue in us, because this is that last step, so to say. Right? To become kings and priests, we have to be holy, because God is holy. I've been greatly encouraged by all the fellowship that we all can make it. This is really wonderful. All the verses that were being read, we definitely can make it, because it is in the Father's heart. Amen. From the beginning, before the foundation of the world, that we all should be holy and without blemish. So if it's in the Father's heart and He wants us to reach this goal, then He's going to help us. He's going to provide all the resources. He's going to encourage us. He's going to root for us. He's going to... so many positive things. And last night, in just beholding the Holy One of Israel, you know, I think we know many things that the Lord has done. But do we realize that it was holy in how He accomplished it? And for me, that was very enlightening, just to see the very humanity and how He accomplished everything is holy. And this Holy One is dwelling in our spirit. Really, the Lord has provided everything that we could need to make it to the goal. But then this morning, as George was speaking, it also needs our part. We need to cooperate. We need to pursue. And all these points here in Roman numeral 3, when you look at what was being covered, we realize it is not just our spirit, it is not just our soul, but it's our entire being that needs to be sanctified. And then where George spent the most time is the cooperation of the saints with God to be sanctified completely. Right? It's our minds, it's our tongues, it's even our physical body that needs to be sanctified. And we went through a lot of points. Pursue holiness. Present our bodies. So many points. And we would encourage all the saints, we need to get into it. Amen. We need to practice. Exercise daily. Right? Because it's a matter of pursuit. Right? At the beginning of the conference, we were talking about how it takes a lot of exercise to learn to kick that ball on the field, to get it into the goal, right? That doesn't happen automatically. The same thing with us today. If we want to pursue holiness, then it must be a cooperation on our side. But not only is it needs to be a cooperation on our side, it also requires our obedience, right? One of the points I'd like to revisit again, I know the brothers have said, sometimes we may be a little repetitious, but one point, the Lord has been speaking to me a lot. Not just speaking, I mean, it's happening, okay? It's this matter of being willing to receive the chastisement of the Father in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, and let's read verses 5 through 11 together, just to refresh us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Let's read this all together. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For by Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Such not much more be readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live. For they indeed for a few days chasten, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Amen. Amen. You know, for you to be a good soccer player, it needs practice. But practice without correction and instruction, you cannot be a good soccer player, right? If you don't listen to your coach, if you don't allow the coach to correct you, and you're always defending yourselves, do you think you can be perfected as a soccer player? No. That was what we talked about in the past when we used that example. But here now, it's even more than just a soccer coach, the player. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father wants us all to reach the goal, right? And he's given us all the wonderful resources to reach the goal. But it also requires his chastening. It requires his instruction, his correction for us to reach the goal. And when he does it, he's not just doing it to point out all the things that we do wrong or make mistakes. No. He does it because he loves us, and more than ever, he wants us to make it to the goal. Amen. That's why the Father speaks to the children. Sometimes as children, we focus on, why is Daddy and Mommy picking on us all the time, nitpicky about different things, right? But we say it because I'm not wanting to just sit there and point out all the wrong things. Actually, if I think back, the most important things that I'm trying to tell them is so that they can become a better person, yeah, from a human perspective. But more importantly, now as they're growing older, is that they would learn to come to the Lord and to learn to go to the Lord so that the Lord can also perfect them. Because in the end, the Lord has to perfect them so that they can reach the goal. So this chastening is because of the love. Whoops, this thing fell off. Oh, well. Okay. Where is it? So, and the brothers have shared a bit about the matter of chastening. As parents, we really care about our children. That's why we discipline. And it was good. One of the questions that was asked to me is, well, even if we have the Lord's life within us already, isn't that just sufficient enough to trust in that life that the Lord will do everything in us? Many times I've been told this. Ah, John, don't say so much. Let the life in them work. Now let me ask you with the children. If, Stefan, you don't correct the children in cleaning up the house, but they have the human life in them that already knows how to clean, right? Human life should be clean because you're clean. Will they clean the house if you don't correct them in this way? But wait, aren't they, have the same life in you, right? Swiss life, even better, the Swiss life. They not only clean the surface, they clean underneath, they clean on the sides, and they clean on the top of the doors. Right? Your children should know this already. But they don't, why? They need instruction. They need correction. So if this is the case with our human life, then we also should expect this in the spiritual life. We cannot just say, let the life work within that new one. If I don't tell my brother BJ that we need to pursue holiness, would you know to pursue holiness? Probably not. But you have the Lord inside of you, don't you? Yes. You have the Bible, right? But then probably not. Why? You need instruction, right? Ultimately, the instruction should come from the Father. But this is why we need to be chastened by the Father. So we know that the Father should chasten us. But the part that I'm being exposed more, not just exposed, but the Lord is really speaking to me in these days is, it's not just that I'm being disciplined, but it's that I would obey. Amen. Amen. I would take the word and receive it, bring it to the Lord, amen, and say, Lord, this is short in me, then you need to change me. Yes. But what is the attitude today of the world? Let's all turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we will read the first five verses together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let's read this together. But know this, that in the last days perilous time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. When I was young, I had memorized this passage. This is in high school. And I never thought, I could never really grasp, you know, is it going to really be like this in the last days? Perilous times will come. But when you read through this passage, what you begin to see is this is the culture of the world today. And in our next generation, it is woven into the very fabric of their character. Today, we have children who just disobey the parents. Just flat out say, no. Talk back to parents. Maybe you don't even see that. I see this a lot now. When I was part with the girls on the swim teams, I could see children openly defying their parents on the pool deck. Young children. Disobedient to parents, and the parents aren't able to control them. And then, in the last administration of the president, he mandated that we would relax the discipline in the classrooms. So it cannot control the students in the class so that they could pay attention to the lesson. Right, Emmanuel? It was hard to learn when you have all these chatter going on. It's hard to focus because the teachers have no more control over the students. In the universities, I hear it from my daughters. You spent time building a very nice architectural design, and now it's under review with the professors. And the students now, they don't take the feedback from the professors. They defend themselves. They say all kinds of things to justify what they did. Not yet. Then, not only that, I mean, these professors are just trying to help them improve. But they are just, you don't know what you're talking about type of attitude. Don't tell me your experience. Okay, then we move on. They graduate from college and they start working. I know this firsthand. But recently, I've been talking to some of these working professionals. I talked to a person who was a fire chief and another person who's a police chief. And they said, there are not many young people who can get through the police academy or the fire academy. You know what is the number one thing that causes them to wash out? Their unwillingness to be under authority. If they would give situation, they'll say, there's a fire there. Go into that building and see if there's anybody in it. And the interviewee says, no, I'm not going in there. You want to be a firefighter and you're not willing to listen to the fire chief to go in there. You laugh. I'm here. I'm repeating what I heard with my own ears. And then the military, you know, if you go into boot camp, I was very surprised by this. Only a small percentage of the cadets make it through boot camp. And the reason why is, number one, is besides not willing to subject themselves to authority, the other one is they think it's too much pressure. And so they just quit. This is after you graduate. And Mo's right. I also know managers who have to be trained by human resources. What if you give feedback to your employee and they don't like it? They go tell their parents, and the parents will call you to complain that you did not give the employee a proper review. This is the situation, brothers and sisters. And in the end, this is just pure rebellion, disobedience. If we are disobedient in such a way in our daily life, then that's why in the end it says, rather than lovers of God, they will not obey. Even our Heavenly Father who has provided so much, we will not obey if we have such a heart of disobedience. Did it fall again? Anyway, I want to wake you up, brothers and sisters. This is the real condition in society today. And the question is, are we going to be willing to receive the chastisement, the instructions of our Heavenly Father? And this is why, for me, more than ever, we really need to know this Holy One of Israel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he also needed to learn obedience. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, I'll read this to you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know, the Lord had to learn obedience. It did not come to him automatically. He needed to learn it, and he learned it as a child. I'm reminded so many times of Luke chapter 2, when it said that Jesus was 12 years old. Why did they bring up, why was it recorded what happened to Jesus when he was 12 years old? Well, if you know this story, Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem for the feasts. And then when the parents returned, who was missing? Did Jesus go back with his parents? No, he was missing. Because he was there in the temple. And he wasn't doing anything bad. He was actually doing the Father's will in the temple. And the parents didn't know where he was, and they had to go back, and it was a few days before they found him. And they even asked the Lord, what were you doing? And he said, do you not know I'm about my Father's business? Hey, that's a very good thing. Right? He's doing something very good. But after that, what did the Lord do? Did he just say, Mom, Dad, you go back, I got it? Did he do that? No. He did not do that. Right? The Lord submitted himself to his parents to come back with them. Right? So this is just an example of how the Lord learned obedience. And we have such one living within us. If he did not learn to subject himself to his parents, then I think it would be hard to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. Right? Because eventually it came to the point when the Lord was in Gethsemane praying. He even asked the Father, Father, three times, can you take this cup from me? Before he went to the cross. He was already asking three times, but he obeyed the Father and accomplished his will. Right? We have such one within us. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, I'll read this to you. Though he was a son, yet as he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Amen. That means if we're willing to obey him, then all of the obedience that is within the Holy One will cause us to obey the Father. Right? And such a one is living within us. And I also appreciated Peter as our example, being corrected by the Lord. Right? Because you can say, well, Jesus is God anyway, so he's going to be obedient to the Father. Well, hey, the Lord also had to work in his disciples. And there was Peter. We all remember in Matthew 16. This is when Peter said what? This is the Son of God. And he saw the vision of Christ and the church. But right after that, the Lord told him that I need to go to Jerusalem, go through the trial, and then eventually die, to be put to death on the cross. And what did Peter say? No, Lord. Don't do that. That's a good idea, right? It's a natural, good response. Don't go through all of that. And what was the Lord's response to him? Did he say, oh, you know, Peter, it's okay. Don't worry. I got it. Is that how the Lord responded? No. He said what? Satan, get thee behind me. Behind you. Right? Now, if you did something wrong, OC, and someone says, Satan, get behind you. Get behind me. How are you going to respond? See? He's not in the spirit. So he's already thinking, I'm not in the spirit. Wow. I thought you might say, I'd be thoroughly offended. Why are you calling me Satan? So that's even one step further. He's in the flesh. This is our reaction, our natural reaction. How did Peter respond? I don't know how he responded. They didn't record his words, but I believe Peter obeyed. Not an easy thing. When he heard that, he didn't say, "Ah, I quit, too much pressure, I'm out of here." No, he didn't. Because 6 days later, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw a wonderful situation, and again, his good idea came out. Let's make 3 tabernacles. Just 6 days later, after he was corrected by the Lord. And now what happened? He got corrected again. This time by the Father. Okay, I thought Peter would have learned his lesson by then, but then when you get to Matthew chapter 26, and the Lord was on his way to Jerusalem, and Judas had kissed him, and they were taking him away, and Peter did what? He drew out the sword. He pulled someone else's sword and cut the ear off. Right? And what did the Lord do? The Lord again corrected him. I don't know about you. If I was Peter at that point, I would just say, I can't handle this. I made 3 big mistakes already. I'm out of here. I'm done. The Lord will never. No. But again, it still went on. The Lord even told Peter, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter did deny the Lord 3 times. And this time the Lord didn't say anything. He just gave him the eye, the look. He looked. And that melted Peter's heart, and he wept bitterly. You know, a lot of times, my wife, she doesn't have to say much. She gives me the look. Unfortunately, I see the look, but I don't respond. And afterwards, she goes, John, didn't you see my look? You saw my look, you didn't stop. Right? This is the core issue within us. We are not obedient. As much as the Father wants to discipline us, we are not willing to be disciplined by the Father. Don't think it's just the world's problem. This is a problem in the church. We all have this tendency. We all really do have this tendency. And with Peter, near the end of his life, he even reminded the saints in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, I will just read this to you. Verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then verse 14, as obedient children. Why did he use this phrase, as obedient children? Because Peter remembered what the Lord said in Matthew 18. There was a question that the disciple asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of the heavens? And the Lord says, unless you convert and become as little children, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of the heavens. Now, why did the Lord say, be as little children? We know that children are simple, they're pure, they're a blank sheet, and you can write things on it. Not only that, but more importantly, is the children are still teachable. Amen. They're coachable. Amen. You can still instruct them and correct them. But the older you get and you become an adult, it's very difficult to change and to correct an adult. My two daughters finally became official adults, 21. Is it going to be harder to correct? It depends. Right, but this is the thing, obedient, right? The children are still trainable. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we still trainable? Are we like little children, willing to be disciplined? Especially in this matter of holiness. And then if you go on in this passage of 1 Peter chapter 1, eventually it says, right, and if you call on the Father, this is verse 17, amen, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Amen. It didn't say conduct yourselves throughout this time of your stay here in love, in fear. This is the godly fear. Amen. Right, this is why even Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, you all know this verse, verse 12 and 13, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to work out our own salvation. The Father is correcting us. The Father's chastening us, right? But when we do take that step to obey the Father, then we have the other part. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And as many have already spoken in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We love our fathers, our earthly fathers. Emmanuel, do you love your dad? But if you do something wrong, are you in fear of your dad? Yeah. So do you love him or do you fear him? Both. It's not one or the other. It's both. You love him. And because you love him, you also fear him. If you did not love your dad, would you fear him? No. They go together. Love and fear. And it's good. Peter says eventually, obeying the truth. Right? The Lord speaks to us by his word. But I want to add one more point here. Peter goes on here in chapter 2 in this matter of obedience. If you look at the next chapter of 1 Peter chapter 2, and we go to verse 13. All of a sudden here, Peter's talking about, you know, having your conduct honorable amongst Gentile in verse 12. And then verse 13 says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are set by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And then if you go on, honor all people, verse 17. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. But then verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Did you get that? Did Peter say, be submissive to your master with all fear, only to the good and gentle, period? Did it say that? Oh, no. Today, we live in the age you have to be good and nice, right? Good and gentle. If you don't have a good and gentle manager, you can go to HR and complain. My manager was too mean to me. Too much pressure to me. But here, Peter says, not only, but also to the harsh. Amen. Why is this here? Because if we're not willing to submit to our earthly managers, do you really think you'll submit to the Lord God himself? Because in the end, it's willingness to submit to our Lord who is our shepherd and overseer. So this matter of obedience is really, the Lord has been speaking a lot to me about this. You know, when I was younger, I was learning how to do the audio and the video. And I made a few blunders. And the brother who dealt with me and the other brothers, he dealt with us in a very fleshly way. He yelled at us, spat us out, said, you guys are just terrible because you made that blunder. So what am I going to do? I'll be like Osi. He's in the flesh. No, actually, because my attitude was, I'm here to serve the Lord, to make sure the audio and the video are taken care of in a proper way. Even though that brother spoke to me in such a fleshly way, I took it as from the Lord. I said, Lord, okay, change this character in me. Amen. I don't want to just do the task halfway with the audio and the video. I need to learn, and you need to change me in this way. When I was working in my professional environment, you know, I've been fortunate to have mostly pretty good managers who are good and gentle, but I had one manager from New York who was a Jew. Harsh and really strong. But you know what? Again, the situation was that. I said, Lord, then I need to learn. And of all my managers I learned from, I learned the most with this manager. Together with the Lord. Right? This matter of being corrected. You know, you think I'm now an older one. I still get corrected. Just before the meeting, I was corrected twice. Don't you know I'm going to speak here? I'm about to speak and you're going to correct me twice? No. I am thankful for the corrections, even as old as I am now. And I hope the Lord will continue to correct us through one another. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, chapter 5, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We're not here to criticize one another just for the wanting to point out all of our mistakes and wrongness. No, we're speaking together. We're helping one another so that we can all be perfected in holiness, so that we all can reach the goal. So may our heart really learn obedience as the Lord was the obedient one. Because in the end, as the last point, sanctification for the remnants at the end. If we want to be the first fruits, Revelation 14, verse 4 through 5, it says, Revelation 14, 4 through 5, these are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. How can we follow the Lamb if we don't obey the Lamb? How can we follow the Lamb if we don't receive the chastisement and obey the Father? And he uses His word, he uses all the saints to help us reach the goal. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So, may we all learn to pursue holiness, to be perfected in holiness in the fear of God. Practice and obey, right? Really learn to hear from the Father. And if we obey, if we practice diligently and we obey his instructions, then he will for sure bring us all the way to the goal. And with the matter of holiness, as I said, I feel like everything now is being examined by the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to me in so many areas that I never realized he was speaking to me. May we all not only hear, may we not only practice, but may we obey our Heavenly Father in the perfection of holiness. Amen.